I used to love my morning coffee, until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics that's gentle on my stomach and gives me smooth, steady energy. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick with a post-game reaction, joined by Alec Poulianos to talk about that loss to the Steelers that just occurred. You may or may not have seen my video about the Ravens and their easiest path to victory. That's some of the what we're going to talk about in a little bit more detail on this. We'll recount the game as we go through that as well. But Alec, thanks for joining me.
No problem, Ken. Disappointing loss, disappointing season, but happy to talk to you and happy for our friendship.
Yeah. I wish I wasn't. It felt like, I wish I didn't feel like I had to make this video right now, frankly, but I'm happy to have you talk to you about it anyway. Yeah. So most of you saw the game, but I'm going to go over briefly some of the stuff and then really indicate how I think the path to victory, the most efficient path to victory, was passed up in this game. But Lamar Jackson had a poor first half. Derrick Henry was leading the Ravens offense, and they were frankly running all over the Steelers. The Ravens had two very big defensive plays in that first half, two enormous jumbo stops. One was a turnover on downs on the Hayward sneak on fourth down. And then the other was on the last play of the half, where with 1 yard to go, the Ravens got in there with four defensive linemen for the second time, two times the first half. And both times they came up with a golden ticket in those cases. Now the second half turned around very quickly, and it was a bad end of the first half. I think we'll agree, Alex, because they let the Steelers have the last drive of the first half without a response for themselves. And then, of course, they had the first drive of the second, which is exactly the kind of the situation you're trying to avoid there.
Correct. Yeah, that was disappointing to see. Appreciated the like three-dimensional chess that Hamilton played with that PI in the end zone, but it didn't end up working out great, because then the next possession was 6-7 minutes, and then three and out, and then another decently long possession. Lamar like didn't have the ball for a large portion of the night at that point. And like we were talking about before the show, the defense just got themselves in way too many snaps.
Right, and that's been a common theme in some of the losses here. They were really dominating early, but in that I'm looking through. I want to look at the drive stats to see how many snaps they even ran in the entire second half. Looks like 8, 12, 15, only 21 snaps they ran the entire second half. That's not going to get it done. That's not going to get it done. And going through a little bit more of this, the second half, of course, the game turned on the Hamilton injury, absurdly big injury. I mean, Collinsworth, to his credit, called it right at the time. He said, you know, this is the biggest moment in this game right now. Subsequent to that, the Ravens had Gilman on the field. They had Starks on the field. They had other answers, and they had to go to Washington and Washington and Humphrey in slot corner. But then the game had a chance to turn again, and the helmet problem for Rodgers led to all those timeouts being used.
That's right. It looked to be a good thing that they lost all those timeouts early. They had the helmet issues, and then they had a couple other like procedural issues where they decided to use and burn timeouts, and even the commentators were talking about how those are gold in a game like this. Mm-hmm. It definitely gave the Ravens a couple different opportunities to try to leverage that.
So the Ravens' first lead-changing touchdown was a throw from Lamar over Queen to Flowers, a thing of beauty, just a raindrop, much-needed inflection point in the game. I still had hope the Ravens' defense could get on the field and maybe make something happen. That put the Ravens up with 8:52 to go in the game. They hardly had the ball, and they were back up 24-20 there. It was 17-13 at that point.
Yep, 17-13.
So then Loop kicked the ball out of bounds, something we probably have forgotten about in some ways, but was a big moment. It set him up at the 40-yard line. The Steelers drove 60 yards again for a touchdown to score at 3:53 to go. and put the Ravens down 20-17. You've seen the Ravens defense at this point on the field. Any hope they could stop the Steelers another time?
I mean, not too much hope. Very disappointing coming into this game, thinking to myself, you know, if they man up on these guys, I think they could have a good opportunity. You know, I was hoping to press on them and make them win at the catch point and play aggressively. Coverage was soft. I think Rodgers took advantage of that pretty frequently. And yeah, it and they were just not tackling well, which has been
terrible,
a story of the season.
Terrible missed tackling.
And yeah, I mean, I didn't really have confidence in much. I had confidence in Lamar, frankly, but I didn't have confidence in the defense. I didn't have much confidence in special teams, and yeah, it just was a little. I will say I had a lot of optimism the last week, drinking some Kool-Aid, and then it all came crashing down. Watching the game, being like, "Oh, this is the same old team," you know. Well,
you know, in a lot of ways, I don't think it was, and I don't think it had to be at that point. But they trailed 20-17 at that point. The second comeback drive for the Ravens then just took three plays, and they got to third and one, and instead of running for it, they threw a long pass to Flowers. Flowers was open by, as Collinsworth would say, the most he's ever been seen anybody open by. and that led to the go-ahead score, was the go-ahead score with 2:20 to play. I'm getting a little bit of feedback from you here. I'm not sure what that's coming from, but I'll just say that to you. Maybe a case of I got my volume turned up too high. Let's see if that'll fix it. All right.
Yeah, so he scores the touchdown. This is right around 11:17 p.m. I said it in my chat. Score too quick. that was where I was feeling at the moment. Just because the way that the defense has been playing up to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, not to cut ahead, but like there was a couple moments on that drive where I thought they might stop him. You know, Ardarius had a nice play on the ball and he just couldn't get the tackle.
Well, are you going ahead now? Because I want to talk about this
play. Oh, yeah. I know you want to talk about the play.
Right. I mean, don't do that to me, because that's the whole point of this, honestly. So Zay Flowers caught the ball with 220, and it was a wonderful touchdown from some Ravens fans' perspective, I'm sure. Also a pivotal moment that I think we'll be talking about for years. And you know why I think we'll be talking about that for years? Because virtually the same exact freaking thing happened 9 years ago. Virtually the exact same thing happened. I'm going to take you through it here. So Zay Flowers caught the ball with no one near him. And it would have been ideal from a game management perspective if he'd gone down at the Steelers one. Let me take you through that and why. First of all, if the Ravens don't have no need to hustle the line of scrimmage. They scored with 2:20 to go. Steelers did not have a timeout left, so the clock would have run down to 2 minutes right there. All right? Mm-hmm. Then from there, the Ravens probably would have tried to kneel once for no gain. All right. Now, funny things can happen. You can get a defense that tries to drag you into the end zone. But if you know what you're doing, you kneel and you take no gain on the play. You leave it at the 1 yard line. And that would have run the clock down to 1:15. They could have scored on second down then. They would have had three downs to score and that would have been fine. Or they could have taken a little more risk, knelt it a second time for no gain, and try to score on third down, which is the path I would have favored. That's, I think, probably the optimal path from my perspective. If they'd done that, they would have run the clock down to 30 seconds. That would not have been enough time for the Steelers to respond with a touchdown. It just would not have been. And is there a slight chance the Ravens would not have gotten in the end zone, or they would have a penalty, or something else would have been? Well, sure. But there's also a very big chance that the Steelers were going to score a responding touchdown, much higher than the, you know, with 2:20 to go, than the risk of not getting in the end zone was from that point. But it's not just that. If somehow they took a penalty, if somehow they got the fourth down on that series of plays, you kick a tying field goal and it's less bad than the other possible outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, and then they would have had a chance to respond in overtime if they didn't get the coin flip. So I don't hate it. I think a lot of Ravens fans, I did like a quick little, you know, survey to see what people thought. I think a lot of people just think you take points. You know, a lot of people will assume, you know, just take points. I can understand that feeling. I will say at the time of him scoring, I wasn't overtly mad that he didn't kneel it. But I was troubled okay. by the state of everything.
But you mentioned you put in your chat he scored too quick. I was screaming kneel.
I agree. I agree. I was thinking as he was running, like, should he be kneeling here? Yeah. And I guess it really just comes down to the fact that if I had to trust, you know, one side of the ball to finish at with how they've been performing, it'd have been the offense. So I do think that there was value there. I guess what I'm saying is it wasn't like there's, I think there's been times in the past where I thought to myself, just like fall down mm-hmm. more powerfully than that. However, it definitely was crossing my mind as he was wide open. And, I don't know if it crossed Zay's. I don't know if it crossed anybody on the teams. And that, you know,
it
I don't know.
As we almost don't need to worry about whose blame this is, because I, in the end, I mean, John Harbaugh has got to instill this as a central tenet of what you need to be as a player, is you need to understand the clock, need to understand the game situation, need to play it. And we've seen Roquan Smith do that with, you know, allowing a player to get up when he could have made a tackle, but he wanted to make it down to the 2-minute warning. That's third level stuff. I don't expect that. I just expect Flowers to know when to take a knee. This is the third time in Flowers' career he's hosed the Ravens with a bad on-field decision. And we'll go back and we'll talk about him real quick. The first one was week 3 against Indianapolis in 23, his rookie year. They lost the game, yeah. And he mm-hmm. fair caught the free kick, I think, off of safety, right? Free kick off of safety, or maybe it was a kickoff, one or the other. But they needed to get the ball down to the 2-minute warning.
Right.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
So that's number. Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything. Data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
For one. And Harbs fell on the sword for him there because he kind of signaled from the sideline, but he said he should have taken a timeout and told him because he clearly didn't understand. Okay. Time number two, the game at the Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers in 24, I guess. He had a 3rd and 5 run around the side. Now, this wasn't a game deciding play.
Yeah, we didn't lose that game, right?
Right. No, it wasn't a game deciding play, but he scored instead of going down when basically he's giving the other team a chance to then come back and win the game. They didn't, thankfully.
Right. Yep, but, I remember that one too.
Bad play also. And then there's tonight. And tonight, you know, Flowers made some big catches for the Ravens. He made a lot of plays. I want more on-field awareness for my players. And you know, it. I think if you have a criticism of Harbaugh from a game management perspective, I think not demanding that of his players would be something I would point to. I'm extremely frustrated by this. Now, the reason I'm more frustrated, I'm going to get into right now rather than hold you on all night here. The virtually identical situation was presented to the Ravens on the Christmas night 2016 loss, when the Steelers remember as the Immaculate Extension. To refresh your memory, with 1:25 to play, Kyle Juszczyk broke through on 3rd and 1 from the 10-yard line. The Steelers made no real effort to tackle him after that. Mm-hmm. He scored when it would have been ideal for him to go down at the 1-yard line, and they could have then knelt and scored and left at least burned the Steelers timeout and left them with nothing to work with. I think everyone who has looked at that in any detail would say that would have been the ideal play to make at that time. It's very frustrating. 9 years later, 9 years and a few days later, this exact same situation came up. And by the way, it was the very week after that's the last time the Ravens ever played a game where they didn't have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yep. That was your trivia question. Man, that was out of the air. Okay. Incredibly frustrating to see that this happen again tonight. I'm curious to see. I don't think anyone's going to talk about it, though, now. I think everyone's going to be talking about
it. It is a nuclear question to try and ask Harbaugh right now. It would be a nuclear question.
Yeah. Well, he might not have a chance to talk to the media again. I don't know. we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But
I would virtually guarantee that if he's not retained for next year, that I doubt he will address this question. I doubt he will address it. If he is retained, then I think he's forced to address it because he's going to be at the podium too many times. You know, with the defense on it, the problem I have with allowing him the ball back is the defense showed no ability to stop anyone. And most of that was just due to fatigue. They had Travis Jones on the field about a million consecutive snaps.
Oh, yeah, he was huffing and puffing.
I mean, just they never took him off. And they did take him off
about
5 snaps. But yeah, they basically, you know, just abused him on the end of that. You know, they didn't really have a fresh pass rusher on the field that they could use. They had Van Noy or Tremont Jones were a little bit rested, and they had a little bit more juice left in the tank. But it didn't produce any pressures to speak of, and Rodgers was able to get rid of the ball. So anyway, very frustrating finish. And then do you want to talk further about what happened at the end of the game? The fact that the defense did fail again, you know, as you know, was feared.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when they missed the extra point, I thought to myself, uh-oh. I said in the chat, going back to my messages, I said, I won 7. I would not trust Loop in this situation. then when they had that unbelievable catch by Likely, I was like, okay, are they going to try to score here? Or are they going to, you know, try to center it? And clearly, by the way they lined up, I was like, they're going to try and center this. And I don't blame them per se for doing that. I think it's like what a team would do. But I lacked confidence, and I'll be honest, most people I was talking to lacked confidence in that moment. And I'm not even trying to be a Loop hater. I feel bad for the kid. I hadn't seen enough this year to trust that clutchness. He missed a lot of longer kicks. 44 is not nothing, even with the K ball. Mm-hmm. Tough time.
Yeah, cold night and whatnot. Those things were true. And Loop certainly had a hand in it by giving him the short field from the 40 on a previous drive, the one that
right,
you know, put him ahead before the second Flowers touchdown. But I'm not Kyle Loop is not blameless in this, and there will be a Cundiff 2.0 comparison for him that hangs over him for the rest of his career for this. Yeah. And it's a little bit unfair because Cundiff's kick was a lot easier. It was a much shorter kick from 30 yards or something, 32 yards. This was 44. It's a harder thing, a harder set of conditions probably. Both games were very cold. And you know, both were in a case where the a previous event would have won the Ravens the game.
Yeah, so, that's correct.
Yeah. So you had the with Evans, you had it, and with Sterling Moore, not, you know, if he hadn't punched the ball out. But I wanted to have this discussion. Obviously, I'm kind of furious about the situation. I put out a video already about it. But people may have seen it. Deserved a longer explanation than this. But it, when you work down about, you know, what from a game management perspective was the easiest path to victory, it's no doubt in my freaking mind that it would have been kneel twice more and then do what you can on third down to score, and maybe do what you can't need on fourth down to score again and try and win the game there, because you can really make it effectively hopefully a 1 yard play for the season, which I think might have been a better deal for the Ravens than giving them all back. But I certainly would have taken the 1 yard play for the season, with the downside being you kick the field goal on fourth down too, and that was it. That was, you know, the other alternative that could have happened there. It would have been with no time left.
Yeah, I felt like I had a couple heart attack moments, so I think we could have just condensed it to like that last bit at the goal line. It's frustrating. It's easy to second guess it. I think you're really valid in saying that there was a better, you know, path. And we just don't see it. Like, we don't. I think I'll leave it with this. I watched the presser. I'm kind of a sucker for those things. And Rowe just went on for like 5 minutes, kind of aimlessly talking about kind of a lack of preparation and just the team not executing despite the play calls being correct and, you know, the ideas being right, but then not doing the job that they were told to do. And we gotta figure out why this team gets lackadaisical. I've been pretty clear that I'm pretty okay if they move on from Harbaugh, and I'll be a little bit disappointed if they don't at this point. But I understand that's a touchier subject. It's just where I'm at with seeing how this team is. I think it reminds me of when Billick left, and I think they just needed somebody different at this point. That's just my thought.
I'm right now, I'm more agnostic than I've ever been to Harbaugh leaving or not. Let's put it that way. But I'll say this, that it's nothing like the Billick situation. The Billick situation was he lost the locker room.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he has it. Like, I'm not convinced he has it.
I'm not 100% sure of that. I'm more concerned about what happened on the field and how they lost the game.
The
fact that he's lost the locker room. I mean, the fact that he comes back in, he's comforting Tyler Loop, is at least something nice to see. I'm positive about that. We saw the video from his house of what was going on. I think the fact that there were a lot of players there and clearly, you know, really enjoying themselves in that moment is a positive thing. But the way this game was lost is just unbelievable. And I would be a point of emphasis for the Ravens next year, or better be, whoever the coach is, whether it's Harbaugh or whether it's somebody else, that you better understand the game management situation as a player on the field. You can't wait for the call to go into the huddle for don't do A and don't do B and don't do C and don't do D. It's too much. You gotta be smarter than that. And you gotta be able to make the play.
That Zay didn't learn from Travion Henderson, who was breaking.
Or from himself.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's got two other times himself where he
already. Yeah. I mean, Travion Henderson checked the sideline to see what he was supposed to do. And as a rookie, I respect it, you know. Yeah. And you're hoping to see better out of your more seasoned players. At least check. And yeah, all the time in the world.
Yeah, he did. So. There was no one near him. In fact, there was no desire to be near him. They wanted to get that clock preserved as much as possible and give him a free shot in the end zone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they had similar thought in Pittsburgh of, well, they gave us a lot of time, you know.
Yeah, I hope he scores. Yeah. It's exactly what they would have thought. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, frustrating as hell. Alec, thanks for joining me after the show. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. I will be blogging on Pulianis.com soon, maybe even tonight. But I have a couple things in me to write and get out. So you can find me there.
All right. All right, other folks out there, if you have questions for the shows, we'll be doing off-season content that's going to start fairly quickly after we dissect this game a little bit more, which will be in the offense and defense spots. Use hashtag filmstudymailbag.com, hashtag filmstudymailbag on Twitter, or go to filmstudybaltimore.com or your favorite podcast platform for the podcast. Thanks so much for all your very loyal listenership through a very difficult season, and obviously a winding season. I really love my audience, I'll tell you that, and I really appreciate all of you in terms of how you contribute to the show, whether it's with questions or just with listens. Alec, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.